Hi, everyone. It's Naomi Wolf with Daily Clout, and today I'm going to be talking about SB 700, which is a really important California bill, which has been signed into law. It passed in September of last year, and the governor signed it. It's now the law of the land. It's kind of a wonky bill to read, so please bear with me because it's super, super important. We've had thousands and thousands of views on Daily Clout about the Green New Deal, which I read twice, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's version, and then the kind of modified version that the DNC released that's now part of the legislative database. And there are serious questions about those that are nonpartisan. So in response to the controversy around the Green New Deal, I really took a look at Daily Clout at bills state by state that actually solve problems of climate change effectively, efficiently, and without the concerns of the Green New Deal. Not that we don't need one, depending on your point of view, but that are straightforward legislation rather than bills that kind of create a committee that flows untold sums that can't be checked. So SB 700, again, it's kind of a wonky bill, but what it does is it is very, very exciting. It makes $800 million available to the citizens of California in kind of a rebate program or an investment program so that they can become storers of solar energy, storers of electricity in their own new building, their own residential units, and then they can be part of the electrical grid themselves. And it gives people rebates for installing solar. So it's also been called a million solar rooftops, the million solar rooftops bill. Of course, the solar tech industries are super, super happy about it. And workers in the solar industry are also happy about it. I don't know how happy about it fossil fuel manufacturers are. Electrical companies, you know, California's gone through a lot with the filing for bankruptcy of PG&E in the wake of the wildfires. But even electrical companies have been really taken into consideration in this piece of legislation, something that supporters of kind of conventional capitalism will like about this bill, as opposed to the Green New Deal, is that it doesn't invent new financial instruments. It doesn't invent new economic systems. It uses capitalism and gives it a poke in the direction of making it worthwhile for people to put solar panels on their roofs and be part of the electrical grid. So Representative Wiener sponsored it. It's now the law, SB 700. So the preamble points out that existing law requires the Public Utilities Commission, and these are the people who administer this law essentially, to identify targets for each load-serving entity to procure viable and cost-effective energy storage systems. And the targets of this were 2015 and 2020. Those were previous bills that passed that said, look, we've got to have targets for renewable energy storage, right? This is about batteries. It's about solar power. It's about electrical storage. And to reevaluate the determinations every 3 years at least. And existing law excludes an electrical corporation that has 600,000 or fewer customer accounts from these requirements. So what the preamble is saying is that the existing law wasn't good enough, it wasn't thorough enough, and it excluded small manufacturers of electricity, like you and me, if we put solar panels on our roofs. In response to a requirement to adopt initiatives on or before 2001 to reduce demand for electricity and load during peak demand periods, right? So part of the problem this solves is everyone wants to watch TV at the same time. Everyone wants to cook dinner at the same time. That's expensive and difficult for electrical companies. So this is about redistributing the delivery of electricity, not just to store it on a million different other places than by electrical companies like your rooftop and mine, but also at different hours. And also to offer incentives for renewable or super clean distributed generation resources. So the PUC, this commission, adopted decisions establishing a self-generation incentive program. So it's saying there's already an incentive program for you to do some of this, but this SB 700 makes it better. It fills gaps is what the preamble is saying. Existing law authorizes the PUC to authorize the annual collection of not more than double the amount authorized for the self-generation incentive program in the 2008 calendar year through the end of 2019. So it doubles the amount of electricity that this incentive program kind of reimburses people for. Existing law requires the PUC to require electrical corporations to administer the program for distributed energy resources until January 1st, 2001, and to separately administer solar technologies pursuant to the California Solar Initiative. So this is saying we're also funding solar technologies in a separate initiative. This is about making electrical companies and the electrical system in California more green, all right? Existing law requires the PUC to provide repayment for all unallocated funds collected for the self-generated incentive program on January 1st, 2001 to reduce taxpayer costs. So it's saying existing law says, you know, if we don't spend all the money in California to get you to reimburse you for your solar collection on your rooftop, you're going to get a refund to help you pay your electrical bill. And existing law requires the PUC before 2015 to update the factor for avoiding emissions of greenhouse gases as provided to determine eligibility for participation in the program. So that's saying what already happened. So this bill, in contrast, says the preamble, would extend the collection for the self-generation extended program to 2024. So it's pushing it forward into the future, making it stronger, and the administration into 2026. So that's 8 years more of a ramped up version of this incentive program to generate electrical by yourself. The bill would require the commission to adopt requirements for energy storage systems to ensure that eligible energy storage systems reduce the emissions of greenhouse gases. The bill would specify that generation technologies using non-renewable fuels are not eligible for incentives under the program on or after January 1st of next year. So that's a really important sentence. Unfortunately, it's not paginated in the California legislative database, but it's basically, it's huge, and it took burning a lot of political capital to put that sentence in there in California. Kudos to California. It's basically saying if you're making, if you're fracking, if you're drilling, if you're mining coal and you're making electricity out of it, we're not going to give you any help with the costs of that. You are stuck. It's going to be expensive for you after January 1st of 2020. So, you know, one of the reasons in Daily Cloud we like to read the bills to people is that it's not fair that just elites get to know what to invest in. So I am telling you, if you're invested in non-renewable technologies like coal or oil in any amount in California, and you can call your stock brokerage firm to ask about that, even if you're a very small investor, even if you're just starting out, even if you're not a rich person, right? You need to switch over before 2020, before January of next year, out of coal, out of fossil fuels, out of fracking, out of natural gas, and right into solar technologies, at least in California, which is one of the biggest markets in the country. And then the next few paragraphs talk about the technologies of, the homework of administering that. If you don't do it, it's a crime. And so the bill imposes a state mandated local program by creating a new crime. It basically criminalizes not doing it this way or not complying with these requirements. So it's kind of strong. It creates a criminal cause of action. So the people of the state of California do enact as follows. I still get a thrill when I read language like that, when democracy is really working. So it amends the Public Utility Code to read 379.6A1. It's the intent of the legislature that the self-generation incentive program increase deployment of distributed generation and energy storage systems. So what does that mean in normal language? Batteries, right? And solar panels. And batteries are getting smaller and smaller to store solar energy. That's part of how this bill is possible. To facilitate the integration of these resources into the electrical grid, improve efficiency and reliability of the distribution and transmission system, and reduce emissions of greenhouse gases, peak demand, and ratepayer costs. So they're saying this will solve three problems. It'll ease the demand at peak times, it will stop greenhouse gases, and it'll save the taxpayers money and save the electrical companies money. It's the intent of the legislature that the commission, in further proceedings, provide for an equitable distribution of the costs and benefits of the programs. Not sure what that means, but it sort of means that people who have political capital who didn't get their needs addressed in this have a promise, basically, by these legislators that they will get their needs met in the next round. Two, the commission, in consultation with the Energy Commission, may authorize the annual collection of not more than double the amount authorized for the self-generation incentive program in the 2008 calendar year. So it doubles the amount that gets reimbursed. The commission shall require the administration of the program for distributed energy resources established pursuant to Chapter 329 until January 1st, 2026. So it says this is not going away for 8 years. On January 1st of 2026, the commission shall provide repayment of all unallocated funds collected pursuant to this section to reduce taxpayer rates. So it basically says in 8 years, if there's any money left over from this program and you're paying for electricity in the state of California as a consumer, you'll get a refund. So that's nice. I mean, that someone can certainly get reelected on the basis of pointing out that they brought this home to consumers. Well, now, what you guys need to do in California is mark your calendar for 2026 and make sure that you get a refund check from California. The commission shall administer solar technology separately pursuant to the California Solar Initiative. So this is the second solar bill, which we'll also read. And it's saying there's a whole, this creates a whole separate administrative infrastructure, which is really important if you want a technology to succeed and grow, to just administer solar technologies. So it's kind of creating a permanent place for solar technologies in the energy administration of the state of California. Eligibility for incentives, this is B(1), under the self-generation incentive program shall be limited to distributed energy resources that the commission, in consultation with the State Air Resources Board, determines will achieve reductions in emissions of greenhouse gases pursuant to the California Global Warming Solutions Act of 2006. This is super important. This is a good bill, I would say, because it's not just leaving it to the electrical companies to say, well, you know, we're helping the environment. It's saying, guess what? You know, this commission is working with the actual State Air Resources Board, and California's air quality police have been very, very effective in the past. They literally cleaned up the air quality of California in the 70s and 80s. They're strict and they have science. So this is really saying we're going to work with people who study greenhouse gases, who know about air quality, and we're going to make sure that they bless what we will refund as a technology that reduces greenhouse gases. So you can't just start like burning coal in your backyard and saying, you know, pay me back. I claim that this reduces greenhouse gases, because the state air quality police will say, well, guess what? No, it doesn't. Here's the amount of particulate you're generating. So that's teeth, and that's good science. It's good policy. Sub 2, on or before July 1st, 2015, the commission shall update the factor for avoided greenhouse gas emissions based on both the most recent data available to the State Air Resources Board for greenhouse gas emissions from electricity sales in the self-generation incentive program administrator's service areas and current estimates of greenhouse gas emissions over the useful life of the distributed energy resource, including consideration of the effects of the California Renewables Portfolio Standard. So what this is saying is, well, this already happened. In 2015, there was a kind of reevaluation of what really does reduce greenhouse gases. They're not just saying one time, this technology is great and leaving it at that. The technology changes so fast, our knowledge of greenhouse gases changes so fast, the crisis escalates so fast. They are saying we're going to check it from time to time. The commission, this is sub three, shall adopt requirements for energy storage systems to ensure that eligible energy storage systems reduce the emissions of greenhouse gases. So they're saying if you're going to put a battery on your roof, whether you're an electrical company or a resident or a commercial building, we're going to make sure it really works. We're going to make sure it's really reducing greenhouse gases. We're not going to take your word for it. C, eligibility for the funding of any combustion-operated distributed, I wish they wouldn't use jargon, distributed generation projects using fossil fuels is subject to all of the following conditions. So they're saying, and this is sub C, if you insist on using a fossil fuel-powered generator for electricity or for other forms of energy, we're going to hit you with a bunch of conditions you need to meet in order to operate. So it's putting, yes, it's putting a lot of red tape in the face of people who want to burn fossil fuels in California, which some of you will say is interfering with the free market. And some of you will say, thank God, it's saving the planet, long overdue. Sub one, an oxide of nitrogen, this is that very dangerous greenhouse gas, NOx, actually it's about asthma and particulates, makes people sick. Emissions rate standard of 0.07 pounds per megawatt hour and a minimum efficiency of 60%, or any other NOx emissions rate and minimum efficiency standard adopted by the State Air Resources Board. A minimum efficiency of 60% shall be measured as useful energy output divided by fuel input. The efficiency determination will be on 100% load. So as I read this very wonky paragraph, it's saying that if you want to burn fossil fuels, they can't make the air that dirty. You have to comply with a minimum amount of how filthy the particulate is in the air after you've burned that fossil fuel. Two, combined heat and power units that meet the 60% efficiency standard may take a credit. So if you're efficient at coal burning, here's the rate you can get, 1 megawatt hour for each 3,400,000 BTUs of heat recovered. So it's saying until 2026, you can keep burning fossil fuels, but they have to be super clean and meet this standard to get reimbursed. Three, the customer receiving incentives shall adequately maintain and service the combined heat and power units so that during the operation, the system continues to meet or exceed the efficiency and emission standards. So it's saying if you install a solar battery, if you get off the grid, you need to keep it in good working order so that it keeps protecting air quality and cutting emissions. So a lot of homeowners might balk at that because it gives the state the power to come in and check how well you're maintaining your battery. Four, notwithstanding paragraph one, a project that does not meet the applicable NOx emission standards is eligible. If it meets both of the requirements. This is a little boring for most of you because you won't be burning fossil fuels personally. A, the project operates solely on waste gas. But this is actually, unfortunately, not boring for all of us because this really affects us. So sub A is a horrible giveaway to the biofuels industry. You get a pass if your project operates solely on waste gas. So what is waste gas? The commission shall require a customer that applies for an incentive pursuant to this paragraph to provide an affidavit or other form of proof that specifies that the project shall be operated solely on waste gas. So what's waste gas? Incentives awarded pursuant to this paragraph shall be subject to refund and shall be refunded by the recipient to the extent that the product does not operate on waste gas. As used in this paragraph, waste gas means natural gas that is generated as a byproduct of petroleum production operations and is not eligible for delivery to the utility pipeline system. So it's, you know, I'm sorry, that's not biofuels. It's some other horrible thing that on the one hand would have been wasted because it's not usable by the main fossil fuel utility pipeline, right, that heats your home, generates your electricity if you're not on solar or another renewable like wind. On the other hand, it basically gives fossil fuel companies who are being really sucked in the gut, kicked in the gut by this legislation, kind of an under the table bribe to not get too upset because they get to monetize a form of gas that would have not been monetizable if people can figure out a way to burn it. B, the Air Quality Management District. And by the way, don't, like, the more you listen to us read the bills, the less kind of furious you should be about a bill that's not all good or all bad or all a benefit to the solar industry without something for the fossil fuel industry. That's politics. And, you know, the left makes this mistake over and over, the right less often, but everyone makes this mistake. They think, well, a bill is only good, I'm only going to support it if it's 100% mine. We never used to have the technology to say, you know what, I love SB 700, but sub A sucks. The waste gas paragraph sucks. Now you have that. We're reading you the bills. We're telling you exactly where the good and bad paragraphs, according to your perspective, right, which is going to vary from watcher to watcher, are. And you can now say to the governor of California, you know, you passed SB 700. It's 90% awesome, but get rid of sub A, that paragraph about waste gas, the next time, you know, in the next legislative session. And they can amend a bill. You know, it's like cooking. You can add a spice. But we've got to get past the days when you didn't have access to legislation and you thought, well, it's either good or it's bad, depending on who spun you, right? Most bills, if they're effective at all, have something for both sides of the aisle to, because it's a deal. It represents a deal, like a contract. Really, it's a lot like a divorce negotiation, a bill, where, you know, the settlement reflects the interests of both parties in order for both parties to agree on it. So you can quote that. So sub B, the Air Quality Management District or Air Pollution Control District, in issuing a permit to operate the project, determines that operation of the project will produce an on-site net air emissions benefit compared to permitted on-site emissions if the project does not operate. And so what they're saying is if you build a new way to generate energy, you can get an incentive if you can prove to us that it's going to be a net plus for air quality. D, in determining the eligibility of the self-generation incentive program, minimum system efficiencies will be determined either by calculating electrical and process heat efficiency or by calculating overall electrical efficiency. So again, it's saying, here's how we as a commission are going to judge whether that solar panel you put on your roof in California really is efficient. You can't just put your, you know, brother-in-law's old panel that doesn't really work and get a refund. We're going to actually check. E, eligibility for incentives under the program shall be limited to distributed energy resource technologies that the commission determines meets all the following requirements. So this is saying, what kind of technologies? Because again, they're moving so fast. This field is changing so fast. Sub one, the distributed energy resource technology shifts on-site energy use to off-peak time periods or reduces demand from the grid. So that's interesting. It gives incentive to investors and developers to fund a way to store electricity from solar or from wind or some other renewable resource that lets you use it off-peak or lets you sell it back to the grid off-peak. So that's a really interesting metric that sets a goal for developers, for inventors, for people looking for patents. It's not the same as no emissions, but it helps the electrical grid. Two, the distributed energy resource technology is commercially available. You have to be able to buy it on the open market. So I guess the downside of that is it really deters those small innovators who have found a cool way to generate electricity from their stream, right, by on their property. And it says you have to go through the process of getting a patent, getting investors, going into production, putting it on the open market. What that is, I hate to say, and you see this a lot when you read bills, is a way to protect existing solar investors in the existing market, existing manufacturers, and wind technology manufacturers, and to really kind of put a monopoly on, you know, new technologies coming on board by your just backyard tinkerer, or your garage tinkerer. And I think that's unfortunate. And I think it quells innovation. Four, the distributed energy resource technology improves air quality by reducing criteria air pollutants. Great, straightforward, that's a metric. You can't say, well, this is really good for, you know, greenhouse gas emissions, but it makes the air dirtier, which is the thing. F, recipients of the self-generation incentive program funds shall provide relevant data to the commission and the State Air Resources Board upon request and shall be subject to on-site inspection to verify equipment operation performance, including capacity, thermal output, and usage to verify criteria air pollutant and greenhouse gas emissions performance. Well, once again, it's saying we, the commission, are grabbing some power to go into your house, check your device, you know, be the ones to decide. Again, I don't love it, because why not err on the side of reimbursing people to innovate and not giving all of the power to determine it to these two commissions? On the other hand, you could say that just ensures that you can't claim something ineffective, you know, is reducing greenhouse gas and get the money back. H1, in administering a self-generation incentive program, the commission may adjust the amount of rebates and evaluate other public policy interests, including but not limited to ratepayers, energy efficiency, peak load reduction, load management, and environmental interests. This is a sucky, sucky, sucky paragraph. H1. This is why you read the fine print, California. This basically says, we're going to pass SB 700 and generate tons of positive media that we've ended greenhouse gases and we're going to give you money back if you put a solar panel on your roof. But in the future, we, the commission, reserve the right to kind of take back a lot of that money, take back 90% of the money, adjust without telling you or without passing a new bill how much money you get back. So I think that's weasel. Those are weasel words. I don't think you ever want a bill that says, you know, we're going to reevaluate this without passing a new bill or a new amendment. This basically says we, the commission, get to decide when you're not going to get a $70 check, you're going to get a $35 check. Two, the commission shall consider the relative amount and the cost of greenhouse gas emissions reductions, peak demand reduction, system reliability benefits, and other measurable factors when allocating program funds between eligible technologies. So sub two, and maybe there's no way around this, basically says we get to pick and choose winners and losers in this lucrative marketplace. We get to say to our friends, the VCs who've invested in this wind farm over here, you're really good. We'll give you all the money in the program, or, you know, half of the money in the program, whereas other people competing on the open market don't get equitably allocated money. It has to go through these people. And maybe this is government doing what government does, which is hogging power, but it turns the commission into not just a bottleneck for evaluating something's efficiency, but really kind of an intervener in capitalism and the free market, turning some investors into winners and others into losers. So it makes the commission very powerful. And it makes lobbying the commission, if you're an investor or in the marketplace with solar or wind technology, very, very important. And then it says, sub one, the commission shall ensure, don't worry, I'm almost done, that distributed generation resources are made available in the program for all ratepayers. Well, cool. It says that anyone who pays for electricity in the state of California can be eligible for this program. So that's, who's going to object to that? Sub J, in administering the self-generation incentive program, I really hate that jargon, solar panel, renewable energy, the commission shall provide an additional incentive of 20% from an existing program funds for the installation of eligible distributed generation resources manufactured in California. Well, everyone, again, whether you live in California or not, why should insiders get all the good investment information? If you are a renewables manufacturer in the state of California, you are a good bet for investment, because this is a handout to you. It's a nice bill for Californians. It says California first. We're not going to reward importing solar panels from China. We're not even going to reward importing solar panels from Iowa. We're going to, you know, benefit, make jobs and solar, you know, solar and wind technologies have an advantage right here in California, California jobs. It's really great political capital. You can really run on that. Again, if you're the sponsor of this bill, Representative Wiener, but you know, I'm just sharing with all those non-insiders, call your broker and say, you know, if you're making renewable energy in California as of January 20 of next year, you're going to get a 20% advantage over your competitors. The commission shall evaluate the overall success and impact of the self-generation incentive program based on the following measures. Again, it says, how will we evaluate reduction emission of greenhouse gases, reduction in criteria air pollutants, measured in terms of avoided emissions and reductions of criteria air pollutants represented by emissions credits secured for product approval. So it's saying two great real things. You know, we're going to keep supporting you if you can show you're reducing air pollutants and greenhouse gas emissions, but we're also going to support you if you can show that you got credits secured for the project approval by our friends. So one is science, one is political handshakes and under the table deals. And this says either way, that's the metric we're going to evaluate your project. Three, the amount of energy reductions measured in energy value. So that's science. Four, the amount of reductions of customer peak demand. That's science. They're going to show if it actually reduces peak demand on the grid by doing this. And five, the ratio of the electricity generated by distributed energy resource generation projects receiving incentives from the program to the electricity capable of being produced by those projects, commonly known as a capacity factor. So it'll evaluate how much electricity did all of these solar panels on all of these roofs in California generate for the state of California. Six, the value to the electrical transmission distribution system measured in avoided cost of transmission and distribution upgrades and replacement. So is it helping PG&E? Is it helping the electrical companies of California? Because this is kind of, I have to say, win-win legislation. And I really wonder what the role of PG&E declaring bankruptcy is to this, because it basically lets existing electrical companies monetize a million people putting solar on their roofs and generating electricity for the electrical companies. So it's kind of a business model like YouTube, you know, like a big central platform will monetize what a million little people will invest in, right, to generate electricity. So it's win-win in that it co-opts rather than supplants existing electrical companies, but it's kind of sneaky because it's basically saying, PG&E, you don't have to worry about generating all that electricity you sell yourself through nasty fossil fuel or whatever entity takes the place of PG&E now that it's bankrupt, right? It's saying the state of California will fund by the tune of $800 million, a bunch of people to generate solar so that whatever takes the place of PG&E can have an easier time producing electricity. It's innovative. It is. It definitely, you know, shifts to renewables and enlists small manufacturers like you and me by having us invest in solar panels. But it definitely also creates a business model for whatever electrical company will take the place of PG&E in California, or if PG&E survives, to kind of make it easier for them to operate without burning fossil fuels and monetizing what you and I are invested and our tax dollars are invested in doing. So, ha, ha, ha. it's win-win, but it's definitely also a win for the electrical companies. After January 1st, 2020, next year, generation technologies using non-renewable fuels shall not be eligible for incentives under the self-regulation incentive program. So that's the end of this bill, SB 700 in California. Unfortunately, again, non-paginated. Why is that, California? I got this right out of the California state database. It's not a BillCam bill. On BillCam, we paginate. Because it makes it harder for you to know what the heck is actually going on. And it makes it easier for the friends of the commission, the friends of Gavin Newsom, you know, the friends of your state representative to say to their donors and their supporters, look, you know, little tip for you in exchange for your campaign contributions, you know, go invest in solar made in California, because this bill is going to have a giant 20% handout to make that a winning investment. And then it ends with section two, no reimbursement is required under this act pursuant to section six of Article 13B of the California Constitution. So the California Constitution says that you have to reimburse if a bill costs the taxpayers money. Because the only cost that may be incurred by the local agency or school district will be incurred because this act creates a new crime or infraction, eliminates a crime or infraction, or changes the penalty for a crime or infraction. So it's saying we don't have to reimburse the state of California because this doesn't really cost the state of California. I don't really understand that, CODA, because it does cost the state of California $800 million, but or it's going to generate $800 million in benefits to people who produce solar power, wind power, and can sell it back onto the grid. So that's SB 700. You've been very patient. That was 35 minutes of reading you the actual bill. No spin, no fake news. That's the bill. Now you know what's in it. You can decide if it's a fantastic bill. You can, and law now in the state of California, or you can decide if it's terrible, an intervention in the free market, killing off fossil fuel industries, which it does in generating electricity, or you can decide that it's a bit of both, as most good policies are. Good bills represent a compromise and have something for most people sitting at the table. Definitely what this bill has is something for the ordinary consumer sitting at the table. So this, if I lived in California, I would be talking, and if I was buying a new house, or, you know, commissioning construction of a house, I would definitely be talking to a California-based solar panel installer about this program. The program is hard to find information about. It's hard to apply for. And I've read news articles, not news, because I don't value that much in terms of understanding what a bill does, but insider newsletters, like people who work in solar tech, people who innovate solar tech, the unions that are going to be installing these new grids. And they basically are saying some people are going to be really excited about this and will apply, and other people who can afford not to apply are just going to install solar panels and not go through the paperwork of submitting, and I read to you what you need to submit, an affidavit, an inspection, you know, all kinds of nonsense that's kind of hard to understand from the bill itself. Hopefully the state of California has an easy to follow website somewhere, please send it to me, where I can share the application you can make once you install your solar grid on your roof in California. So again, what's the takeaway from SB 700? You can get money back. Kind of unclear exactly how, but you can get money back. The articles I've seen say if you invest about $9,000, you're going to get about $19,000 back over the course of 3 or 4 years by installing solar panels on your roof through this program. If you're in any way in an investor, if you trade, you know, even tiny amounts of money, a couple of $100, $50 here or there on websites that let you trade, you know, you should know that California renewables, especially people who make solar panels, are going to get a big boost in the market from this bill now becoming law. If you are generally an investor in fossil fuels in California, get out of fossil fuels, because the electrical grid is going off fossil fuels by 2026. And there's no incentive to make fossil fuels competitive for electricity by January of next year. And if you're anyone else in any other state, this is an awesome bill. I mean, I think it's an awesome bill in a nonpartisan way if you're concerned about fossil fuels, if you're concerned about climate change, and if you just want to make some money as an investor, you know, or as someone who has a rooftop or a backyard that gets sun, or if you, you know, are somewhere where you can catch some wind with a backyard wind generator, which also exists. So if you like this bill and you like that option, I'm going to post it on Daily Cloud. The URL is going to be in this video. We're going to do a little blog of it on Daily Cloud. And we're also going to try to get our developer, Arc Interactive, to do an HTML version of this bill so that you in any other state can take the bill and cut and paste it, right? And fill in Illinois or fill in Michigan or fill in Mississippi where it says California. And, you know, replace the California State Air Quality Board with your State Air Quality Board, or delete those sections and take what you like out of this bill and bring it to your own representative. And, you know, with Daily Clout, you can also generate support using BillCam for a similar bill in Illinois, in Mississippi, and you can make an appointment with your state representative, call the chief of staff, say, I've got 100 signatures and an awesome bill to do in Michigan what they did in California with renewables. Will you meet with me? And then go ask that chief of staff to ask your representative to sponsor a similar bill. And you'll help, you know, get support for it. You can do that with Daily Cloud and with BillCam. So again, thank you for patiently listening to what is really in SB 700, important takeaways about investing in renewables and getting out of fossil fuels, and also important takeaways about putting a generator in your own backyard or an electrical solar panel on your own roof in California. Important takeaways about doing the same if you like this bill in any of the 50 states. And by the way, if you live in one of the 27 referendum states, you don't even need to go through your state senator. You can put a referendum on the ballot and you can vote this bill into law yourself. And we'll post again a list of what those 27 referendum states are. This is Naomi Wolf for Daily Cloud. Thank you for all the thumbs up. Remember, subscribe to Daily Cloud on YouTube so you don't miss these updates. Become a member. It's only $3.99 a month, but it goes so far to us keeping our hosting and data flowing so we can bring you this important information, paying our researchers, paying our graphic designers, paying our journalists, paying our analysts. And stay tuned with, you can also make a donation. Thank you to all those who've donated, a one-time donation or a recurring donation. And thank you so much to everyone for using BillCam and becoming members or listeners of Daily Cloud. This is Naomi Wolf.